I'm going to talk about After PDF, how to train efficient and open source machine learning models for private translation in Firefox, and how you can help us support more languages. So first, a bit of background. 65% of the web is in English, but only 26% of users are native English speakers. If you see from the image here, there is a big discrepancy between the number of people that speak a given language and the percentage of the web which is in that given language. We have 24 official languages in Europe. And there are 93 languages only in Europe spoken by more than 100,000 people. Each country has dialects and even if you only filter, if you only consider the languages with more than 100,000, it's already 93. There are, of course, cloud-based providers that offer translations, but that's not they are not privacy, the private. And for Firefox, we like to offer privacy, so we don't want to send contents of your web page or the URL of the web page that you're visiting to the cloud. We want to offer local translations. This was not easy in the past, but with the European Union and in collaboration with some universities, we investigated the possibility and then were able to build client-side private translation capabilities using transformer models and lots of tricks to make them smaller and more efficient. We released a few languages. You might have seen it in a Firefox stable. And we have a few more in development. You can already use them in Firefox Nightly. Not all of them are best quality, but we are slowly getting there. So how do we do inference? I'm going to start from inference and then talk about training. It's the opposite, but more or less the same. So we download we train the models in the cloud, and Firefox will download the models and update the models when we have new releases from our servers, only for the languages that that you need. And then we run the models locally. We use the machine learning, an engine to run machine learning models on the client side to translate locally. All the data remains on your system. And the translation is performed completely locally and privacy preserving. We have an engine which is written in C++ and compiled into WebAssembly for security reasons. And we're using SIMD instructions to make it faster because machine learning models use lots of matrix multiplication operations, and with the SIMD instructions we can make them much faster on the CPU. We built a library for matrix multiplication called Gemology, which you might want to use in your project. Training. How do we do training? So the first step is to get data sets. Likely, research has created lots of them. You can see we're using data sets from this corpus called Opus. There are actually 1,200 corpora with lots of sentences for many languages. The only problem is that these data sets are not clean. They are collected from the web by crawling. Sometimes, even for, let's say for Italian, for example, you will find sentences that are not even in Italian. So a lot of cleaning is needed, and it's easy to do when you're speaking the language. If I'm training Italian and I'm Italian, I know Italian, it's easy to know, it's easy to define some rules and to validate that the rules that I created are correct. But when I'm training Russian, it's not that easy because I have no idea if a sentence is actually Russian or if it is Chinese. Well, I guess I can detect between Russian and Chinese, but I cannot say if it is actually fully Russian or partially Russian and partially Spanish. So the first step is cleaning. We use rule-based data cleaning, and this is where we need help in general because the rules depend on the language, and if you don't speak the language, it's not easy to define the rules. And we also use some machine learn-based detection of bad sentence pairs. So luckily, this helps a lot by filtering out millions and millions of bad sentences. And then we use data augmentation from monolingual data. Monolingual data is easier, and we can translate sentences into from the target sentence from the target to the source, and then we can add the pair as a sentence pair to train on. It's not perfect, of course, but it's good when you have when you don't have a lot of sentence pairs. So we train the models in the cloud. They are very large. They're 800 megabytes. We cannot, of course, ship them to users, especially because we have one model for each direction. So if you're if you want to translate 10 different languages, you will have to download 8 gigabyte. That's not feasible. So we need to compress them. So we distill them into smaller languages, and then we quantize them from float 32 to int 8 to make them smaller and to make them faster. So the size goes from 800 megabytes to something like 20. And the execution time is also way, way faster. And the quality is not that bad. There is a decrease, of course, but it's acceptable, especially because translations don't have to be perfect. The important is that you understand what the website is saying, and nothing is can be misinterpreted. We have a very complex pipeline to train models. The image is unreadable, but if you go to this website, you can see what the various steps of the pipeline are, and if you're interested in learning more about some of them. Of course, the presentation is on the FOSDEM website, so you will be able to open the link to just open the links from the presentation later. So what are we doing next? First of all, we're working on improving quality. So we have some specific problems that we noticed. For example, sometimes the translation is changing the numbers. To be clear, all of these problems are due to data sets and data sets not being clean. But sometimes if you have sentences gathered from the web, and they are gathered automatically. Maybe when a given website was mentioning a price in dollars, then when they translate to Spanish, they will mention the price in euros. And of course, sometimes it's impossible for a machine learning model to learn the relation because the relation changes every day. The exchange ratio between dollars and euros is different. It's a little easier with units of measures, but with currency, it's basically impossible. Then we have problems with the capitalization. In the data sets, usually you have normal sentences, like they have normal capitalization. But on the web, sometimes, especially in comments, you will see all caps sentences when people want to scream. Also, the web is messy. Sentences, it's true, we need to clean sentences, but at the same time, we need to make sure that we are representative, we have sentences which are representative of the web, and sometimes on the web you find typos. So we need to be able to train models that are resistant to such problems, and they're able to translate even if there are typos. So we already started some work around this area, and we're basically augmenting the data sets to inject noise, and this is increasing the quality. For example, with our previous models, when we were not injecting any noise, the quality with the sentences which were all uppercase or all title case was very, very bad. So the translation was almost unreadable. But now, after the data augmentation, the quality between independently of capitalization is more or less the same. And we are doing the same for typos soon. And for numbers, it's a little more difficult. It's not related to augmentation, but more on the cleaning side. Then we want to support more languages. This is an example of an idea from Mozilla Connect. If you want to vote for any language, feel free to go to Mozilla Connect and vote. We have a tracking issue on GitHub to track training more languages. So if you want to see support for a given language, go to Mozilla Connect, open an idea, or vote one if one already exists. Otherwise, if you want to help directly train models, you can start from this issue and maybe connect with us on Matrix, and we can help you set up. Then we want to support Android. Of course, Android is a little more difficult because phones are slower than desktop machines. Also, in some countries, data is expensive. So we need to be especially careful when downloading large models. We need to make sure that if you're on a data plan, you will not download the model. So you can decide to download it only on Wi-Fi and so on and so forth. But the feature works more or less the same on Android, just because the engine behind Firefox is the same across platforms. And this also means that we will probably be able to also support Thunderbird, so that you can translate emails directly on privately. And this is the tracking bug in case you want to follow along the development. We're also working on settings improvement. Right now, the settings for I want to always translate this page, or I want to never translate this website, or I want to always translate this language, it's kind of a mess. And we're redesigning it with the help of an outreach student. Again, if you want to follow the progress, that's the tracking bug. And then we're working on selection translation, so that instead of translating a whole page, you can just select a sentence and translate that specific sentence into the language of your choice. This is especially useful, for example, when you're chatting with somebody on a messaging platform and you don't want to translate the UI or anything, you just want to translate a specific message. So if you can, please help us. If you know any data set for language that we could use in addition to the ones that are already available on Opus, please tell us so that we can use it and add it to Opus so that other researchers and other companies working on open source software can use them. If you want to contribute code for Firefox, please tell us. Same if you're interested in adding support for your language. This is especially useful for us because we don't speak all of the languages, and especially for the cleaning aspects. It doesn't even require coding expertise. You can help even if you just know your language and know English, because you can help us clean them correctly, and also helping us giving us feedback about the languages that we are working on to tell if they're good or not. Thank you. Grazie. Questions?
Remember to repeat the question.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's start here.
Do you have plans to maybe in the future convert this or make an app
That's an interesting. Okay.
I'll give the mic next time, but this, please repeat.
The question was: do you have any plans to make this standalone application so that you can do offline translation outside Firefox? That's an interesting idea, and I think it's worth considering. We're also considering building some kind of service that you can run on a website, for example, so that you can use it in other browsers or on iPhone where we cannot have our own engine, for example. But I think there is a lot of interest for private translations from many companies that don't want to give their data to third-party companies. So it's definitely worth thinking about.
So the question is, if I understood correctly, you trained your teacher model from scratch. Can you give us an idea of the resources that you needed to train it? Not the data sets, but really GPU, CPU, what you used. Thank you.
Yes. So the data set, we can tell you also about the data sets because they're open. So I cannot tell you right now because I don't remember. And but there are configurations and they are available openly, so you can see. Regarding the training, I think it takes, for the teacher models, it depends. So we train two teacher models actually in parallel because this improves the quality. And then we use an ensemble of the teacher models to then translate sentences and then train a student model. The teacher model, each one, I think, takes probably around one day in with four GPUs. I don't remember which kind of GPU we're using. Oops.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. I wonder whether, like, you're planning to support a set of advanced features so that a user can maybe select like trade-off between speed versus quality of translation by doing some model ensembling or different decoding strategies, beam search, greedy decoding, etc.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we have been thinking about, especially on the size of the models. For example, on we could consider larger models for desktop and smaller models for Android. Like, for example, 20 megabytes is not that much nowadays. So probably for desktop we could go higher, and this would be a very cheap way, a very easy way to improve the quality. We're also investing a lot on the inference side to make inference faster. Right now we're using SIMD instructions. Maybe in the future we will use a GPU directly if a GPU is available. So by both making models faster and by making the model inference faster, we can then support more easily larger models and things like that, yes.
This is my friends, how you're going to make your 10K steps in a day. I'm coming back after. I probably should run. Thanks.
So I was wondering, how do you integrate the translation engine into the browser, as in how do you load the model into a JavaScript context? And then also, how do you make sure that you, like when you update the DOM, that when there's some dynamic updating, that it doesn't break the whole website? For example, React expects very like consistent DOM, and then it updates it differentially. So how does that like work with dynamic websites?
So the integration is, maybe if you contact me later, I can point you to some documentation to give you a deeper look. The way it works, we have a separate process from Firefox, so this is also for security reasons. This separate process is loading the models, and it's loading the engine, because the engine is also written in JavaScript and it's in WebAssembly. And so the model is executed completely into this separate process, which is isolated from the main process. The HTML handling is funny because it was built as part of the research project, so it was not ideal. We could have used the Firefox features itself to handle the DOM and etc. And by using Firefox itself, we would have had way more visibility into which elements are in line, which elements are block elements, when you need to break sentences, etc., etc. Instead, the researchers, I guess, for to do it more quickly, they implemented their own HTML parsing into the engine side of things. So in the future, this is another thing that we're planning to improve: drop the custom HTML parsing and do it all in Gecko directly, so that we have way more control over the HTML and DOM. And regarding the dynamic elements, I don't know the specific details, but I know that it works Normally, there is a mutation, some kind of mutation observer, so that whenever there is a mutation, we translate the new content.
Have you considered using other novel models or other translation services to generate new data sets instead of just relying on pre-existing data sets?
Yes, this could be something that we have been considering is instead of training our own teacher model, we could reuse other open source teacher models. This would be the quickest way because then we reduced the time by not training the teacher model ourselves. This would be the quickest way to train to reuse other services. Of course, we cannot for this. We cannot use a closed source service. I don't know if legally where we would be allowed to use their output to train a competing model or something. But we could use open source models. The thing is that in terms of quality, our models are higher quality than other open source ones that we have looked at. So we could do that to speed up adding more languages, but then we would have a lower quality than we had, than we would have if we trained our own from scratch.
And I told you, I'm walking towards 10K today, and I'm not better.
Yeah, I think the main issue is the original data that is going into the process. And you know, like if you're taking it from the web, I think there's Open LLM France, which are working with their own data sets. Probably that is a good source to get as well data that is already annotated and you know like filtered and everything. So maybe there are some ways to collaborate there.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are now with the LLMs, there are more people working on this area of natural language. So I'm sure that there will be, and many concerns around gathering data from the web. So I'm sure there will be more opportunities for sharing data sets and using more open data sets. Thanks.
Have you tried the 4-bit quantization?
No, we haven't yet.
So only down to 8-bit only?
Yes.
Okay.
It's definitely worth trying because maybe we can have a larger, theoretically larger model with more weights, but smaller weights. Maybe it could have a better quality, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, one last question. Where am I headed to? Or? Very good. Thank you so much, Marco.
Thank you.